Hello, this is Dave Jeffrey welcoming you once again to Optimal Life. It's brought to you on the RPH Network, produced in the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. Today we're going to look at just how the vaccine will be rolled out, the benefits of superannuation and how you can increase it, and COVID-19 has changed seniors' dating and relationships somewhat. First up, we're going to look at how the vaccine will be rolled out, which is of great importance to us older ones who are that little bit more vulnerable. Chemists to offer free jabs in the rollout. People will be able to get their COVID-19 jabs for free at their local pharmacy. This is as the federal government expands the rollout to ensure maximum community take-up of the vaccine. Pharmacies will be paid to administer COVID-19 jabs under the $200 million plus program. It will form phases 2 and 3 of the rollout. Billions of extra dollars will be spent on this rollout. It's understood the extra spending will be on the freight logistics to enable the vaccine to be transported across Australia by road, also by air in one of the largest logistical operations ever conducted in Australia. While doctors have warned against allowing pharmacies to become vaccine administering sites, the government will require those wanting to participate to meet strict safety standards. They'll be informed by the expert medical advice from the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation. Under the plan, metropolitan community pharmacies will be paid up to $42 to vaccinate an Australian, $16 for each of 2 required doses, as well as an additional $10 given at the time of the second vaccination. Utilising the existing network of thousands of community pharmacies will ensure the general population have broader access. This will provide a choice for where the community receives a vaccination, and it will address barriers to access some parts of rural and regional Australia. Pharmacy Guild of Australia National President George Tambasis said the network of 5,800 pharmacies across Australia would provide better access to the vaccine for more people. Health professionals involved in the vaccine program will have to undertake specialised training. The investment was about giving people as many ways to access their jabs as possible at the most convenient locations. An expression of interest process will begin soon for pharmacies around Australia to participate. The Community Pharmacy COVID-19 program will begin. The inclusion of pharmacies as administering sites along with GP clinics is designed to enable the vaccine to be rolled out to the entire population of Australia by October. Well, an interesting article there saying that chemists will be able to offer free jabs and the vaccine rollout, so there's going to be a lot of locations. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Next up, we're going to have a look at how the global pandemic has changed dating and relationships. Even before a global pandemic was thrown into the mix, dating had its challenges. Relationship experts share their insights on how each age group is taking a different approach to love. This is taken from the Sunday Telly. The past year tested us all, with lockdown and social distancing providing uncharted hurdles for those taking part in the dating game. While the social impact of the pandemic is still being determined, researchers are forecasting its long-term effects. An article published in the National Academy of Sciences Journal in the United States last October predicts a drop in global birth rates and people will remain single for longer. But the future of online dating looks promising. Some positive trends are emerging in the past few years. A 2017 Relationships Australian study found we're seeing improved online dating etiquette. This is much to the joy of the estimated 4.5 million Australians using dating apps. One such app, called Hinge, which is a popular dating app focused on relationships rather than hookups. It reported a 27% decline in ghosting instances during the pandemic. At the same time, it said 70% of its users are more open to virtual dates via video platforms. Tinder has also reported an increase in users and overall engagement. They say that now we're all valuing connections after taking it for granted when it was all so accessible to us before. Post-pandemic, we'll continue valuing connections, conversation, and really getting to know someone. Now, we're going to look at the different age groups here, beginning with the 30s. People often have an understanding of their identity and purpose by their 30s. According to ABS Marriages and Divorce Data, released in 2019, it's also when Australians typically get married. They start a family. This can cause underlying pressure when dating with a long-term relationship is in mind. While the Australian government figures show the country's marriage rate has been in decline since the 1970s, a 2019 Relationships Australia survey found the majority of respondents said there were positive benefits to being married. This is when compared to being single. Okay, we're going to look now at the 40s and then the 50s plus. For the 40s, while dating may appear to be a young person's game, there's actually a large dating pool for people in the 45-plus age group. And with the median age of divorce being in the 40s, there are apparently many mid-40s, according to a 1985 data survey, looking for fresh relationships. For many who become single later in life, it's often a time of reinvention. They say that many of their clients in their 40s often discuss the importance of looking younger than their actual years. They place great importance on fitness and self-care, all of which help them find confidence in the dating scene. The age group is more receptive to old-school approaches to dating, which has a resurgence. There's been a phenomenal interest in traditional matchmaking since the pandemic began. People value their time more now. They have no space for people who are not looking for the same thing as they are in life. And finally, we look at the 50s plus. For many Australians, their 50s represent a dating renaissance. They actually have time as the demands of family and work commitments wind down. This age group is also challenging social stigmas. It embraces technology. There's new age dating habits, further cemented by the apps designed exclusively for those with the over-50s age group are very successful. Mature age clients are more relaxed about having someone in their life. To them, a partner is nice to have, but not necessarily a need. What they are looking for above all else is companionship. An interesting article there saying how COVID has changed us a little in the dating and romance stakes, particularly with relationships. Interesting article there at the end. It says people nowadays, 50s plus, what they're looking for is companionship above all else. Okay, we're going to look at superannuation, following on from the dating game, I guess. If you've got a little money, it certainly helps. This is entitled How to Grow Your Super Fast. This is taken from the Sunday Telly on the 18th of January. There are several ways that you can make a big difference to your savings in the long term. And I think the overall message here is it's never too late to actually review your super. Written by Anthony Keane, it's taken from the money section. Superannuation savers should not rely on the federal government pumping up their compulsory employer payments next year. There's plenty that we can do for ourselves. Last month, a 638-page retirement income review was finalised. It was a report that gave the Morrison government the path to hold the superannuation guarantee. That's called the SG. They were going to hold that at 9.5% of wages, rather than lift it to 10% in July, as planned. Now, there are apparently mixed views as to whether the government will halt the legislated changes to see the superannuation guarantee rise to 12% by 2025. A review says that Australia's current retirement system works well, and they warn against increasing the superannuation guarantee because it will affect take-home wages. Compulsory super since 1991 has largely improved Australia's savings. There's now $3 trillion in superannuation. It would not have been there if it was not for the compulsion. If the government won't increase it, you should. Now, the author here is saying, salary sacrifice just 0.5% into your super each pay. If you can afford to do more, then aim to do more. Small extra contributions are not noticed much now, but they will reward you later. The secret of super is compound interest, and you pay less tax in super than you would externally. Also, the article goes on here to say, it's important to first understand what you want from your retirement. Now, there are plenty of free online tools, such as the government's Money Smart Retirement Planner calculator. These can help you work out what you need and whether you're on track to achieve it. Regular extra contributions make a big difference in the long term. For example, if you contribute just $20 a week from your take-home pay over 30 years, that can add an extra $85,000 to your income in retirement. Finding lost and unclaimed super and consolidating your accounts to take advantage of the compound interest on larger balance. Also, there are fewer fees, which will give your retirement saving another boost. Now, we do not expect compulsory super to rise to 12% anytime soon. So here's what they're saying. People 10 to 15 years in particular out from retirement should do a two-step analysis. Step 1. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have? For example, do you wish to go travelling, often or occasionally, overseas? Secondly, then estimate the annual spend that will be required to support that lifestyle. Match this to your actual superannuation savings. Savers should be flexible, work to change bad habits around saving and consumption, and you should also research compound interest. Well, that article's probably something that we've all heard before. Look after your super, it'll look after you when you retire. But there's a couple of good things there. Salary sacrifice is a tax deduction. Put that extra 0.5% or more into your super now, and also look at compound interest. Another thing I read recently in one of these articles is that with the COVID virus, we're not spending so much, so it's a great chance to save. Of course, we can't travel much. So look at things like that, your super. Do it now. This program, Optimal Life, has a wonderful sponsor. It is Seniors Rights. Now, some of the things they offer for free are just fabulous. They provide legal advice to older people in New South Wales. Further, they offer a comprehensive referral service. They may also provide limited legal assistance for financially and socially disadvantaged older people. Now, their advice includes consumer rights, human rights, elder abuse, financial exploitation, planning for later in life, and that's what we've just been talking about. They'll help you with your super, etc. Now, the Retirement Village Legal Service Provider gives advice to residents in retirement villages. This includes former and prospective residents. They can have issues arising from debates with the retirement village management, or perhaps the interpretation of a contract. Now, their contact details, you can call them on 1-800-424-079 or on the net. It's simply seniorsrightsservice.org.au. I'll say that again, seniorsrightsservice.org.au. And the Seniors Rights phone number, 1-800-424-079. Looking there at the details for our wonderful sponsor of this program, Seniors Rights, they'll look after you with a lot of free advice, and in many cases they'll represent you. Their number again, 1-800-424-079. With Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Now, we have a wonderful program here called Aging with Attitude. It also deals with us older folks. You can hear it alternate Sundays at 4 o'clock on 2RPH. It's beautifully produced by Therese Plain, and I must say, Therese, thank you very much for the article you've given me, the most interesting one on men's sheds, and it's called Mates Who Create. Our love of the backyard shed is now the basis for a worldwide movement that offers men a social space to try out new skills. One in seven men in Australia experience depression, anxiety, or both in any one year. That's the message from mental health charity Beyond Blue. This encourages men to find the time to focus on their well-being. The idea is also the driving force behind a movement that started in Australia. It's now a worldwide phenomenon, the Men's Shed Group. It brings men together to boost their mental health and foster social inclusion. At the same time, all can take part in practical activities, things such as fixing bikes, restoring furniture. The founders describe it as a modern update of the traditional Aussie backyard shed. The San Remo Community Men's Shed in New South Wales on the Central Coast is a typical example. It offers a safe and friendly space for men to talk about their life's experiences. At the same time, they can learn woodwork and metal skills, making everything from photo frames to chairs. Now, there are classes for women too, as well as Boys to Men program. There, the youth is at risk of disengaging from school, etc., can collaborate with men on woodwork projects. Now, here's something very interesting for anybody involved in a men's shed. The San Remo Men's Shed received a $1,000 Supporting Seniors grant from the Australian Seniors. This helps their good work to continue. Australian Seniors has two retail stores at Castle Towers in Castle Hill and Lake Haven, both in New South Wales. There, customers can vote for a charity to receive grants every 3 months. Now, I'll come back in a moment and tell you how you can find the local men's shed. Now, there's a couple of worthwhile addresses here. The Men's Shed, simply go to mensshed.org. Or we can find out more details on the Australia's Seniors Supporting Seniors Initiative. Go to simply seniors.com.au. Now, those two numbers again, mensshed.org and seniors.com.au. It is a wonderful organisation, the Men's Shed. I very often go down to mine, have a chat. I'm not really a member of it, but I have a chat and just say good day to the fellows. It's most interesting. And Therese Plain, thank you very, very much for that. And I'd just like to put in a plug for your program, Aging with Attitude, heard on alternate Sundays here on 2RPH at 4 o'clock. Therese, thanks again. Well, a very important decision. This conversation may be uncomfortable for both you and your parents, but it is essential. If you don't know what your parent desires and they don't know the pressures that you are under, then basically both sides are living under the cloud of assumptions that may be plain wrong. This is Parents to Care, Yes or No. Your parent may well want to be in an aged care facility. This is not uncommon. Now, this article looks at three things: managing the siblings, go to open days to find the right fit, and use respite care to test it out. Firstly, managing the siblings. The feelings of guilt can be made worse when one sibling wants to proceed with having the parent live in a residential aged care facility, whilst the other sibling does not want this. The way families are today, most likely you may only see your siblings a few times a year. This is when issues such as these can be discussed. Perhaps Christmas, Mother's Day, Easter. They don't hit the family with an ultimatum to make a decision around Christmas dinner table. It will be a free-for-all disaster if you do. Give some notice, get some quiet time, and if possible, leave out the cousins and the aunts and the uncles and the ex. Prepare for the meeting and be ready to discuss the pros and cons openly. Now, there are two observations that stand out about all these conversations when siblings are not in agreement over aged care. First, perhaps ironically, very often the siblings who object to the most are the ones who've not taken the responsibility of looking after the parent. They have left it to the other sibling. Second, the observation is that the root of the objection is often money-related. This is especially true if the parent has some savings or an asset and it will not get full government subsidy. In these circumstances, the question of who is going to pay for the deposit becomes a real issue. The other issue with the monetary impact is that if mum or dad's savings get used up for the aged care, that of course depletes the inheritance. There are no real answers to these dilemmas, but entering a family meeting forewarned is always forearmed. Now, secondly, this is a good idea. It says go to open days and find the right fit. Having decided that aged care is an option worth considering, start finding out about what is available, what is affordable, and the official processes that are involved. If you're not aware of it already, the bureaucracy involved is very large, very, very confusing, and constantly changing. It is not a bad idea to get professional aged care consultant to help you navigate this maze. Plus, the formality which this third party brings to the table also helps to diffuse some of the emotion. Make sure that you go to as many open days as you can, aged care facilities. Take your parents with you. After all, they are going to live there, so it's not something that you should be doing on your own. Make a day out of it. Talk to as many people as possible during these open days, residents, staff, other visitors, and so on. Of course, the aged care facility will be putting on their Sunday best during an open day, so it's important to visit on a normal day. Perhaps once you've made a short list, search online for reviews and problems. Ask personal friends and acquaintances. The ultimate test before finally taking the step is to have your parents stay at the aged care facility the two of you have chosen as a respite client, so your parent can stay for a few days and really see how good a fit the aged care facility is. Another good aspect of short stays is that your parent will start to make friends at the aged care facility. They'll get used to the staff and routines before moving there full time. Remember also that the aged care facility is your friend in transitioning residence. Many will have support services, not only for the parent, but also the rest of the family involved. Take advantage of these support services. You are not on your own. Now, that article taken from the Australian Over 50s Living and Lifestyle Guide looks at putting your parents into aged care. Couple of interesting things there. They're saying, don't always feel so bad about it. Your parents may want it themselves. And secondly, I thought a very good idea. Have your parents stay in the one that you've both chosen. Have them stay there for a few days or weeks as a respite patient. You're with Optimal Life on the RPH Network. This next item now could be helpful to us. We can't travel overseas too much, but here's something you might like to do whilst home in Australia. Meet the train spotters. If you ask a dozen grey nomads why they're travelling round Australia, you'll end up with a dozen different unique answers. From looking for adventure, to saving money, or having a special interest, the list is endless. Well, for Graham and Wendy French, the driving force is their continuing interest in train spotting. They've spent their free time in the past 3 decades traversing Australia on the hunt for trains. And centuries-old railway lines as well, they love them. Graham's fascination with the Trans-Pacific train started way back in the 1970s. Then he was working for a Kalgoorlie radio station. It was next to the busy railway yard. But now it's evolved into a lifestyle choice. He said, "I can't understand why more people don't get out and explore this wonderful country. There's just so much to be seen, so much history, so much fascinating landscape. And you have to get off the beaten track a little bit now and then to really appreciate it." Well, there you are, looking for a little something or things of interest to do. Train spotting could be one, but as he says, so many things to see in Australia. Well, that's all we've got time for in the program today. I hope that you've enjoyed it. As we often say, if you'd like to comment on the program, like any more, any less, or things that we should include, give us a call here. Sydney 02-9518-8811. Love to hear your comments. This is Dave Jeffrey saying thank you very much for being with Optimal Life. Bye for now, and I'll look forward to your company again soon.